We're in 1 Timothy chapter 3. We have only three verses to get through this morning. And it could be a really simple sermon. But I have 100 notes. And I've never had this many notes. So I need your help. So we're going to read this. We're going to read through the scripture. I'm going to get the bulletin out of the way. And then hopefully I'll tell a story. And from that story, I'm asking God to bring forth some response. So this is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. But I am writing these things to you, so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, justified by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and taken up into glory. Amen. May God bless His word. Okay, get your pencils out. Church, and I kind of color-coded this for you. Church means called out ones. So when we say the word church here, and the word is ecclesia, it just means called out. Called out. Now, when I think of called out of what? Right? Called out of what? It's just what comes to my mind. Called out of what? I'm not going to answer the question. Number two, we are a pillar and a support of the truth. Now, you know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He also said to his disciples, the one who's coming after me, the comforter, he's going to guide you into all truth. Did you know that God is connecting you to His truth? So if we look at the verse, the three verses, we see that this thing called the household of God or the church is a component here that we're talking about, connected to godliness. And it is a pillar and a buttress of the truth, or a support of the truth. So Jesus creates this thing called the church, and it's a thing that's a bunch of called out people. Now, in my house, this is what call out means. It means yelling up the stairs. Iska! And I did try to buy an intercom system, so I bought this phone system. It said it could intercom, but lo and behold, what it meant by intercom was not what I thought was intercom, was that you have to go through a dialing circuit, push the right buttons, and then dial the one extension, and then it rings. You know, I thought, okay, well, oh, this is great. I could just yell into the phone, and everybody in the house is going to hear me. Come out of your bedrooms and come downstairs. It's time to eat. Called out. So the church is called out from something to something. And what I want to make note of right now is that this thing is a miracle. It's living because it comes from the living God, and it's a miracle. It's a miracle. And because it's a miracle, it can hold God's truth. Which brings me to the next slide. The mystery of godliness is Jesus. He is the center of the mystery of godliness. Jesus orchestrates godliness, but here's what you have to get. Godliness, we have God, but we are the liness, right? We have God, and we are the liness. Godliness means somehow it incorporates us. Have any of you recently woke up and said, man, I am so godly? So this is going to be this may be a hard morning. We can only be godly through Jesus. We can only be made into a godly entity by Jesus. And Jesus is the center of God's active work in heaven and on earth. So if we look at the text again, we see that Jesus is really the fulcrum to this whole text. He was manifested in the flesh, justified by the Spirit, seen by the angels, proclaimed among Gentiles, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. So, in this little section, the mystery has two earthly and two heavenly manifestations. Now, this is pretty good. We're already two-thirds of the way through this text. So this morning can't be that bad. Two earthly, two heavenly manifestations. And that's all incorporated in this bottom part. Manifested in the flesh, justified by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among Gentiles, believed on in the world, taken up in the glory. I want you to look at that text. Because I think we just read it and we don't think about what it's saying. There's some difficult things there. Okay, so we're going to finish your bulletin right now. So the earthly manifestations. I'm going to start with the earthly. Jesus is declared to the heathen. And he's believed on worldwide. So declared among the heathen and believed on worldwide. Why, by the way, I'm still getting used to my mouthpiece, which has my fake tooth in it. And I did go to Dr. Rosenthal and he said, okay, well, I think we can probably do this implant, but I see a cavity, a hole, which we might need to fill. So when I go in on the 23rd, we'll see if I get my implant or I get a bunch of fill-in material. So you can pray about that. I really want my tooth. As fake as it is, I really want my tooth. Yeah. So Jesus is declared to the heathen and believed on worldwide. It is a miracle that God would say anything, and I'm going to personalize this right now. It is a miracle that God would say anything to me. Now, I know that you also didn't wake up every morning this week and say, boy, I'm a heathen. Right? That really wasn't the first thing in your head, I'm a heathen. But the truth is, as good as we might think we are, there is something absolutely corrupt in us that we just need someone to take care of, and we have a Jesus. Now, the first thing is, I'm thinking about, why would God say anything to me? But I would even respond that, how in the world, and I use this word, and sometimes people have said to me, please don't use words we don't understand. So I use the word myriads upon myriads, because what this is saying when it says worldwide, it's talking about through time. I don't know a number to put on this, but God has been speaking even to people like me for eons of time, well, since the beginning of time, and people have responded, and even heathens, people who didn't want anything to do with God, are responding now. That's a miracle. So, first I think about me, and then secondly, I think about there are others like me that are responding to God and that God is speaking to. That is a miracle. And it's not just a miracle. Because it's a miracle that's living, it's a manifestation about what God can do and what He has done in Jesus Christ. You see, now let's talk about the heavenly manifestations. Now, this is where it kind of blows your mind. You just kind of skip over this. So Jesus is human and God. Now, how can God be human? We have a whole bunch of stories, Greek mythology, about trying God connecting with humans. But it is a miracle that God himself could be human. Like me. It is a manifestation of God, but it is mind-blowing. That's number one. Number two, that Jesus was justified. Jesus, God himself, pure and holy, had to be justified. Are you kidding me? Why? Because he became a heathen for us. He took on the weight of heathenness. He had to be justified. And it was by his blood. By his blood that he became justified. Watched by angels. I love this. We just go, oh, well, yeah, angels are watching. Do you ever read the account of the temptation? So Satan's coming to Jesus. Now, Satan isn't like sitting there reading God's word so he can know it. When Satan was in front of Jesus and he said, why don't you command, using Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, why don't you command the angels of heaven to grab hold of you and protect you? Just jump off and show it. Do you know that Satan was probably very aware of myriads upon myriads of angels right there? In fact, they had to let him in. So Satan's kind of turning this. He's going, I'm pretty smart here. Here these angels are. They're ready to pounce. Jesus, jump off. Think about that. So from the beginning of time, angels had seen the desire of God and the revealing of Jesus to be the one who from the beginning was coming to make people whole and healthy again. And not just one, but a bunch together. Whole, healthy. Reflecting him. And lastly, glorified. Now I'm using John 17 here, so you might want to turn to John 17 real quickly. This is what Jesus says about his glory, beginning with verse 22. The glory that you have given me, past tense, I have given to them. Past tense. Now in the Greek, past tense isn't quite like our English because it actually says it's been done, but it can be continuing. That they may be one. Glory given so that we might be one. Glory given so that we might be one. Just as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may be perfected in unity. So that the world may know that you sent me and loved me them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given to me, that they would be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, present tense, which you have given me, past tense. For you loved me, past tense, before the foundation of the world. This is what Jesus is saying. I've had the glory from the beginning, but there will be a day when I'm glorified, and what that simply means is that I've included a whole bunch of heathen. Praise God. Now, that's the sermon. Here's my reflection. If I'm cancerous, how in the world can Jesus make me godly? That's just number one. And that's just the reality of it. Because my nature is not good. Oh, yeah. All my relatives go, oh, Dale, yeah, he's not the black sheep. He's good. Isn't it wonderful to have a black sheep so that you can look better? It doesn't change who I'm at, who I am. And if I struggle with godly, how in the world can Jesus make a godly we? If I myself struggle, how in the world can there be a we? I get to connected to other people who have cancer. How does this make a healthy thing? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. So I need to tell a story right now. So last night, my beautiful wife, and I am appreciating her more and more and more, came into the living room and asked this question. Why do I smell burned candle? It's a very simple question. I knew the answer because I blew it out. So, guess what? We got into an argument. Here's why. For some reason, from my youth, and I'm processing this, my relationship with my parents were usually based on they interacted with me when I did something wrong. But beyond that, many times they would ask me a question and I had done something wrong. They didn't know it, but as soon as their presence came, I was thinking guilt, 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 guilt. And that had nothing to do with my mother or my father. That actually had to do with me. So, what? So I took what I had, this baggage from the past, let me call it my cancer cell, and put it into a living relationship. And that never goes well. So I have three kind of things to talk about here. First is that as I was processing this in, as Lori and I were trying to, I was trying to walk our way out of this, I'm thinking to myself, am I ever going to get rid of this? God, is there any way that I can ever get rid of this? So I'm already seeing two things. Number one is, you know, my mom could be connected to some of those things, but there were times when it was just me. Didn't have anything to do with my mom or my father. They just showed up and I was doing something wrong. Am I ever going to be able to get rid of this? God, help me. That's the first thing I thought of. And it reminded me about the many layers that we have as we have other persons we're relating to. You see, this whole conversation is about God making us one together. Well, try to think beyond two. So at least if you can think of one other person that you struggle with, you got to get that right before you can start thinking about the whole complex mass. Is it any wonder we struggle in the church? And is it any wonder when we let something between one person affect us, is it any wonder that it affects everything? So I'm thinking about my layers, and it helped me process, you know what, Dale, you might have this thing about your mom asking you questions, but most of the time it was probably just you. And it, for, you know, we were an outside family. We had an acre of land, so we didn't spend our time inside, except for in the winter, and then we were in the basement. So pretty much every time my mom came down to see what we were doing in the basement, we were doing something wrong. Now, it was probably silly stuff, like we weren't supposed to play baseball with, we had these little, they're kind of sponge balls, but they really sprung, and we had this game we played, because we damaged things. I mean, you know, my brother and I, the room's only about 25 feet. I mean, we were swinging at it. We had these nice shelves on the wall, and if you hit the top one right in the center, that was a home run. And I mean, we had, you know, and so pretty much we had all these games, but we were breaking rules all the time. And it's amazing how these simple things become cancer and big, isn't it? So that's the second thing. Memories are more about my layers than they are about the other person. We can relate to each other if we recognize that. Most of the time, there's something for you to process in this unity thing. And lastly, how do I make Jesus and his powerful work a making of a we priority? We have to not, this just speaks to where we run from each other. I can create my own little world. Let me see. If I pick you, you, and you will be, and I think then we can kind of live from day to day. Right? Jesus doesn't do that. He makes it a we priority. He includes the people that you know it won't work with. Am I being real? So, I wanted to kind of transition this into Mother's Day. So I have some Mother's Day reflections after that story. And this really helped as I was processing my mom and the blessing. And honestly, I never thought anything. I mean, when I related to my mom, this stuff wasn't even there. I mean, she was just a blessing to me. She took care of me. As I've related to others and realize that I have my own weaknesses, I'm realizing that all those weaknesses have connections. So there's a way to give mercy and to receive mercy. Childbirth pains, okay, mothers, childbirth pains are always followed by child life pains for moms. So you thought it was all about the pain of childbirth, right? That's just the beginning. So there's these childbirth pains, and then there's a bunch of pains that come afterwards. Well, in the spiritual realm, this is what Jesus says. The Holy Spirit births. You get birthed by the Holy Spirit. This is John chapter 3. Well, guess what? We get all excited. Oh, man, someone came to the Lord. Yeah, baby! And then we get to meet them. Or they get to meet us. You see, there's spiritual childbirth, and there's also spiritual child life and all that it entails. It is the same for us in the church. So I have another reflection. Naturally, God gave us an intrinsic desire to be part of a healthy whole. This is highly revealed in mothering. I'm really processing this. I'm not a mother. I will never be a mother. But as I'm thinking about what Lori has communicated to me, you were one with your child. They were completely dependent on you. You blessed life. Isn't it your desire as a mother that we would just be all one again? All the family whole? In complete communion? I'm thinking that God has given a wonderful picture to mothers of what the body of Christ is like. My family together. I hope today, mothers, that you get to experience some of your family together. it really reminds me, I have to think more about my mom and what's going on, because it must be constant separation anxiety. Yeah. So God gave us an intrinsic desire to be part of a healthy whole. Not just me and my child, but me and my family now. One more. It may be more pronounced in women who have never had the opportunity. Having a child doesn't change the fact that you want to be a healthy whole. As a child, you wanted to be a healthy whole with your mother and your father. But what would it, and yeah, okay, so mothers who've had children may have failed and struggled with that, but what would it be like to not even be able to have a child or have that experience? It's kind of the better to have love and lost thing. It may be more pronounced in women who have never had the opportunity. It might just be that we have a blessing in women who have never had the opportunity to have children, to understand the need for us to be one. Because there's something in all of us that desires the miracle of a family, the miracle of the unity. And only God can create the family, and only God can create unity. Only God can do this in a healthy way. So for me, Mother's Day is really about focus on family, togetherness, but then number two, understanding that God is doing a togetherness thing. He's doing a Mother's Day thing all the time, trying to make us one. So, okay. 10:17. Bless God for miraculously creating a living, the church, right? Called out family. Pillaring, remember that word pillar? Pillaring the truth and revealing Jesus. Bless God. Because he created us, an ability for us to understand this miraculous thing. Living and called out. So, for birth, it's real easy. I don't know. I mean, I only experienced Lori from the outside, the calling out thing, you know. I couldn't say, come on, Jacob, come on, Margaret. For Naomi, we were going, stay in, and we're going, stay in, Naomi, stay in, the doctor's not here. Now, I didn't have to do anything about that, but the nurses are going, just to Lori, just hold her in, just hold, you know, just hold her in, just hold her in. Just hold the baby in. Oh, I'm sure, it's been 45 minutes. Oh, I'm sure he'll be here soon. How long did you have to wait? Was it, don't even remember anymore. Isn't that good that we don't remember? Yeah. So called out to be living. The church is called out to be life. If you look at that John 17 passage, they're called out to reveal the love of God, which incorporates all of us. So this message today is extremely convicting to me. So when I was processing this whole thing, the first place I went to, so we just had Godspell, we're all dead tired, my mind's all over the place, We just cleaned up the sanctuary. And it kind of puts you on edge a little bit. So you're not really ready. You don't have the margin for stuff. But I as soon as that happens, I'm thinking, oh God, oh God, protect Tim and Karen. I can just imagine, if this can happen to me, I can just imagine Satan going at it with it. Protect Matt and Emery. And then I'm going down the list. Protect Margaret and Katie. I'm sure that Margaret didn't have a conversation with Eric last night, but protect Margaret and Eric. And I just go down, protect Jose and Sherry. Because this is, we all get it. So, number one, we're all together. Protect Nicole and John. John, don't look at me if you had an argument last night with Nicole. You get it? So God's calling us to be one, but all of a sudden you have all these interferences that make us divided. Now, this is the powerful part. We can do this. We can realize what's happening and say, God, make us one. And protect each other and become one. If I went longer, it would just not go well. Can I just stop? Okay. Grace and peace, Junior.